as we come to God's house. We're going to sing the hymn 734. We're going to sing this hymn on Sunday morning as well, as we think of the anniversary, the 70 years. This was the theme hymn of the first mission that was conducted way back in 1951. And so just to get into the mode of the anniversary, we're going to sing this hymn tonight. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eves, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And that's our desire, whether it's the work at home or abroad. And we think of Uganda tonight being represented here. We certainly want to see the sheaves brought in unto Christ. So we'll sing it heartily unto the Lord's great name. Think of the hymn, of course, we are brought to the Psalm 126, and we think of when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. We were like them in that dream. And the psalmist speaks about his mouth being filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. And you know, when the Lord does turn our captivity, when he intervenes on behalf of his people, when he steps in revival, well then there's no doubt great joy is brought. And we know something about our mouths being filled with joy, with laughter, and our tongue with singing. And then thinking about what the Lord has done, it gives a great incentive to look to the Lord, to work again. And so the psalmist says, turn again our captivity. And that's what we need here in the province, right across the United Kingdom, in fact, that the Lord might move in a mighty way again. So we'll pray to that end tonight. We want to be like those who sow in tears, who go forth weeping, bearing the precious seed, holding on to the great promises of God, that we will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. With that in mind, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts before thy holy presence just now. As we draw near to thee in the attitude of prayer, coming through our mediator, We have no other way to come. We have no other name to plead. It is the merit of the blood that we seek to present to thee now, knowing that we are accepted in him, in our blessed Redeemer, in the beloved God's beloved Son, our beloved Saviour. We thank thee that he is the one mediator between God and man. And through him tonight we come seeking for your blessing upon this midweek service. We thank thee for this theme hymn of the mission over 70 years ago. Lord, we praise thee that back at that mission there was a bringing in of the sheaves. Thank thee for the many, many souls that were converted to Christ. Indeed, 100 people professing faith in the Lord back then. And Lord, over the years of our history, we have known the sweet blessing of gathering in unto the Lord the sheaves into his garner. We thank thee for every sinner converted to Christ, for every one that has been brought near to him through the precious blood. And O God, we want to give you the glory and the praise for all the Lord hath done for us. We never will cease to praise him. And so it is with joy and thanksgiving that we approach thee now in memory of the good things that God has done, and praying again that there will be the turning again of our captivity, that the Lord will turn about the circumstances in the nation, a nation that has drifted from God, a people that have departed from thee and your word. Lord, you're able to move again with mighty power. You're able to send revival, for thou art the God of revival. When God moves in such a fashion, when revival is given, or there's reformation, or an evangelical awakening, this is the Lord's doing. And Father, we know that it's always darkest before the dawn. And what we find in the physical, we know to be in the spiritual. And so as we look around us and we see the darkness of the day, and we might be tempted to be discouraged in our hearts, Lord, help us to know that the dawn will come and the light will shine and God will move again as he's promised to do. Lord, we know that Christ is coming back as a bride adorned for her husband. And we know that when a bride is adorned, it's something that's beautiful. And we look out into the Christian church today, and we have to say it's not really something that's beautiful. We praise thee what you've done in every believer's life. You've made us into something beautiful in Christ, but Lord, only revival will bring that beauty, will bring that joy, will bring that glow again to the church that will be so beautiful for the coming of Christ. And not only revival, but we know also persecution. And Lord, we will expect these things in the end times. Keep us true to thee. Keep us looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray that you will come again and move in a mighty way with power for your own great namesake, that your name will be glorified in this land. Thank thee for the nature of the meeting tonight, and we know that our church has always been a missionary-minded congregation, and we think of those that have been sent out from this church into the harvest fields, some of them here at home and others further afield in those lands where our missionaries have gone to, and not least Africa. We think of Noreen with us tonight and the years that she spent in Kenya and latterly in Uganda. We thank thee for these open doors. Thank thee for the witness at Emmanuel, both in the school and the mission station. Thank thee for all the Lord has been pleased to do there. Lord, we think of that visit that our young people had when you moved in such a remarkable way, and all those young people professing faith in Christ. We had never seen the like of it before. And Lord, we pray that that work that you began, that you will establish, that you will bless these young people and help them to go on with God and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Thank thee for the Reverend Brown, who is a member of our mission board and also sits on the Ugandan committee. And as he comes to speak tonight and to show us this presentation, we pray that you will bless him in his own soul as he renews fellowship with the congregation here in Hebron. Make this a good night, not merely because we are here to enjoy fellowship with one another, but more importantly, because God is here. And Lord, this will be a good night if we know the manifest sense of the presence of our God. Let it be so. Prepare our hearts for this time. And as we think of Noreen traveling tomorrow, going back to Uganda, we pray that you'll keep her safe on the journey. And as she returns to the place of her calling, make her a real blessing there at Emmanuel. We ask these things through the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to you this Thursday night, those in the church and those that are joining us on the internet. There is a preparation day, which is Saturday, as we anticipate the anniversary service to be conducted on Sunday night out at Cabra. To this end, if I can ask our session and committee, and if there's anybody else here tonight and you're willing to go out on Saturday morning to help with this, please stay so that we can make sure what the time is that we're going to Cabra and what needs to be done. If there are implements that need to be brought so that we can be prepared. Do remember the Lord's Day, the prayer meeting on Zoom at 8 o'clock, Sunday school 10:30, Bible class at 10:30, and then the anniversary day to mark 70 years of witness here in Cabra and Ballymoney. And at the noon service, we look back with thankfulness. Sadie and Robert will be speaking, and at the gospel service at Cabra, that's at 7 o'clock, we hope to be there to preach the word. So do remember it, please. This is the invitation that we have produced digitally. So if you got that on a WhatsApp, please pass it on so that others, and if you go onto the church website, you can get it there. And if you go on to Facebook, you can get it there. Pass it on and let folks know that this is taking place on Sunday night. Once again, thank you for your tithes and offerings for the work of God. Just before the Reverend Brian comes to speak to us and to show the presentation, we're going to sing this missionary hymn 681. So send I you to labour unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. These are the words of Christ. He spoke them to his disciples in light of the Great Commission. And as the Father sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. It's good to know that we are sent ones by the Saviour himself. Let's sing the hymn with meaning and to the glory of God.
Thank you.
a joy it is tonight to have the Reverend David Brown with us. No stranger to Ballymoney. He was one of our assistants in the misty days of yore, many years ago. Brother, it's good to have you tonight. It's good to have the missionary from Uganda, our sister Noreen. She's been worshipping with us this past few weeks, and she's also going to take part tonight. But Mr. Brown, it's over to you. We've been looking forward to tonight's meeting with anticipation. God bless you.
Thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you again here in Ballymoney. I must be honest, it really always feels like I'm coming home when I return here. Now, I wasn't brought up in Ballymoney. It's not even my home church, but certainly we are very much appreciative of the many years, the couple of years, I should say, that we spent here. I have fond memories of the time visiting you and spending time with the congregation. I'm not so sure if the Reverend Park would call them fond memories. I remember when I was here, our brother at that stage had a lot of trouble with headaches. And I asked him there recently, how's your headaches? He said, I haven't had them in years. That did concern me. So, nevertheless, you persevered them well. Well, tonight I'm here to bring reports on Uganda. But first of all, what I want to do is turn your attention to the Word of God. And then we have a video to watch. And then I want to bring a few points to update you and to direct you in prayer. And then I believe her sister Noreen will come up at the very end. And she'll fill in all the blanks. What I'm going to do tonight is I'll draw the dots. And then she'll fill in the lines at the very end and help all to make sense, all being well. It's actually a genuine joy to be here tonight to do this deputation and one of our missionaries from Uganda actually here. And we're thankful to the Lord for raising up our sister Noreen and for equipping her and for giving her the ability she has to labor over in Uganda. And do keep her in prayer. As I was going to say maybe later on, but it comes to my mind now, Noreen, of course, is a missionary of our denomination, but she is especially your missionary here. And take this child of God to heart and labor in prayer faithfully for her. So the book of Colossians, if you'll turn there, book of Colossians, it can be a tricky one to find. If it helps you, it's before Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. So just before Thessalonians, let me read the first few verses with you. The first five will suffice. So Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Amen. We'll just conclude our reading there. Let's bow together in a word of prayer, please. Our Lord and our God, it is good to be in the house of God. There are many things tonight that we could be doing. Many things legitimate even and right and well and good, but it's a privilege, Lord, to be found in God's house with thy people. So our brother has prayed already. Lord, give us a good night. Give help, Lord, of course, in the delivery. Give help in the receiving of all these things tonight. But, oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt have the preeminence, and at the end of the day, we will glorify the one on the throne. This is, Lord, your work. It's your cause. It's all about your glory. And so we pray tonight you would advance the work of our missionaries across this world for thy namesake, for the good of men's souls, and for your glory. Be with us now tonight as we spend this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The church at Colossae was made up of a godly and faithful people. That congregation, it's very clear, the Apostle Paul held them in the highest regards, and the Lord inspires the Apostle Paul to speak of them in the greatest of terms. Can you see there in verse number 2? By inspiration now, so this is the words of God, and the Lord says through Paul to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. They were faithful. Here was a faithful congregation, a people who obviously loved the Lord, knew the Lord, and were diligent in serving the Lord. But there appeared to be a problem. And the problem is this: they appeared to be somewhat soft on doctrine. And that was the problem here. A good church, a good people, but they had allowed, for whatever reason, they had allowed teachers to come in who would teach vain philosophy. Christ plus other things. And the congregation were beginning to be infected by that. Would you turn with me in chapter 1 and the verse 23? Chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So he's speaking here about being moved away from the gospel, the hope of the gospel. And if you go to chapter 2 in the verse 8, it says, beware, chapter 2, 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So here's a church, there was a problem. And if you want to understand the book, you always want to work out why the book was written. This book was written because heresy was creeping in. And so the Lord moved the Apostle Paul to write a book all about the sufficiency of Christ. And that's what this book is about, the sufficiency of Christ. And I'm not going to deal with the main theme of the book, but perhaps in your own time tonight, you could read chapter 1 and begin at verse 13, right through to verse 23. And it's one of the greatest declarations of Christ in the Bible. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, a great declaration of our Savior and our Christ. But tonight, what I want to direct your attention to is the beginning of chapter 1. It really opens in the most lovely and encouraging way. And I believe there's a wee truth here tonight. It won't be new to you. It definitely won't be new to you. But just to encourage you, look at what the Apostle Paul says in verse 3. We give thanks to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He's giving thanks, and he's praying always for somebody or for a people that he never met. You see, I don't believe the Apostle Paul, to this point, had met the people who make up the congregation in Colossae. If you look at verse number 4, he says, since we saw your faith? No, since we heard of your faith. He's only heard about these people. He's heard about their faith in the Lord. And that indicates he was never there. Yet he's praying for them. And that's the wee challenge I want to leave before you tonight. Praying for people that perhaps you've never met. You don't know. You've only heard reports about them. Now, there are some of our missionaries. Of course, you know very personally, some of our missionaries, some of them you don't know so well. We should be praying for our missionaries and for the people they serve amongst, whether they be Ugandan, whether they be Kenyan, Nepalese, whatever. You will know our missionaries, some of them more personal, others, but you most likely will not know the people they serve. That doesn't mean we don't pray for them. Not at all. Let me just show you something about the Apostle Paul's prayers here in verse 13 for these people that in verse 3 that he did not know. To these people, he says, we give thanks. He gives thanks for this congregation. I think that's good direction for us as a people. We can give thanks for our missionaries, for sure. When I was thinking about this just even today, we have so much to thank the Lord for in regards to the missionaries that we have, the number we have, and the caliber and the ability and the talents that God has given to our missionaries. We're a blessed denomination. We really are. And then we have congregations, many congregations serving the Lord. We have a congregation in Uganda. We have congregations in Kenya. Many congregations in Nepal and further afield. There is much to give thanks for. Look what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 4. Since we heard of your faith. He's giving thanks because these people in Colossae, they have faith. And faith is a gift from God. He's referring to their salvation. He's rejoicing that in Colossae, there's a people saved. And we can give thanks tonight. There's a people in Uganda who know the Lord. Children, adults, mothers, fathers, boys and girls. We can thank the Lord tonight that he has permitted our denomination to be instrumental in gathering a congregation over there. Furthermore, if you look at verse 3 again, not only does he give thanks for the people, but at the end of verse 3, he says, praying always for you. And that's more a prayer of support. He'll have a list of things, I'm sure, in his mind, that he would have regularly prayed for these saints in Colossae. And when I was thinking about that, there's much we could pray for our brothers and sisters across the water that we don't know, and for our missionaries who aren't nearby us. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul has a request here. It's actually chapter 4 and the verse number 2. The Apostle Paul says here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And I think that's a good prayer tonight for our missionaries and for congregations abroad that we do not know. And that's what we want for ourselves. We want the Lord to open up opportunities and doors that we may speak the gospel. And you're doing that with your weekend here and your celebration. You're seizing that opportunity to proclaim the gospel. That's an open door the Lord has given to you in Cabra there. But for our churches across the world, in Uganda, that more open doors would be given to preach the word and share the gospel. But that requires discernment. The Lord must give the people of God wisdom to see opportunities, to know when the Lord is opening doors and when the Lord is not opening doors. But not only is it open doors in the sense of opportunities, we could also pray that the Lord would open people's hearts. And you don't see an example of that clearer anywhere than the book of Acts, when the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Oh, for hearts to be opened. And when our sister Noreen McAfee goes over, and the Fosters, they will have the joy of seeing people's hearts opened and winning them from Christ. And the people there, the congregation in Uganda, the mothers, the fathers, seeing their children's hearts opened, children going home and seeing their parents' hearts opened. Great joy for us, and we'll come to a close here with this, but it was a great joy for us, of course, to go and join with your young people's team on that mission and see many children opening up to the gospel and seeing them confessing Jesus Christ, and yet some of their parents didn't know the Lord. Oh, that those little children would have doors of utterance in their own homes to share the gospel and to see many more one for Christ. That's all I want to leave with you tonight. There's many things we could pray for, missionaries and for people. You could pray for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They need that. You could pray for their relationships one with the other, that the devil wouldn't get in and cause havoc and problems, because the devil loves to do that, you know. You could pray for their protection, on their physical health, on their spiritual well-being, on their emotional needs. You could pray that they would have confidence, not confidence in self, but confidence in the Word and confidence in God. All those things would grow. There's many things we could pray for, but just tonight, let me leave that with you. Here's the Apostle Paul. He gave thanks and he prayed always for a people that he didn't even know, a people that he'd never seen, only had heard reports about them, but that was enough. With the information he had, he took it all to the Lord in prayer. Well, amen. I trust the Lord will encourage even you as a congregation to pray for the flock over in Uganda and the mission field as a whole. Now, as I said, it is my privilege tonight on behalf of the Mission Board to come and present the work of Uganda to you. Can I just mention something about the Mission Board to explain something as to how it works? We are greatly indebted both to our chairman, the Reverend Horace, and to our secretary, which is your minister, the Reverend Park, for the, I think colossal is the right word to use here, the colossal amount of work these two men do for our denomination in our evangelism across the globe. It doesn't only require a lot of time, a lot of experience. That's what those men put into it. It doesn't just require time and experience. That work requires a great heart. And these men have been given by God a great heart for global evangelization. And we owe a great debt to these two brethren. Our mission board meets once every month, except for a couple of months in the summertime. And we do have subcommittees that meet within that month period. There's several different subcommittees. One of those takes care of Uganda. And the chairman of the Uganda subcommittee is the Reverend David McMillan, who serves in our church in Armagh. Again, another brother in the Lord that our denomination is greatly indebted to for his tireless work as he looks after the work from this end of the ministry. And I would commend these three men to you that you would pray for, the Reverend Horace, Reverend Park, and the Reverend David McMillan, as they labor so faithfully and so diligently in the work of God. Now, I'm going to show you this video. I think it speaks a lot about the work, and I trust you will enjoy it. A lot of it you will be familiar with, because some of you were over in Uganda, and there's a lot of footage of the mission, children's mission that we did there. So I trust you enjoy it and you're informed. And once then that video is shown, I want to just bring a few updates, because there are a few updates since it was put together, and a few things then for you to pray. So I'll hand over to whoever's hitting the button and let you watch the video now.
One of the great pioneer missionaries to Uganda in the 19th century was the Scotchman Murdoch Mackay. The last article that he wrote before his sudden death was on the vital question of how is Africa to be evangelized. One answer to that vital question is to reach the children of that vast continent with the message of the gospel. And in recent years, the Lord has opened to us in the Mission Board a great door of opportunity to reach especially the children of Uganda with the message of the gospel. Uganda is a landlocked country with a tropical climate that sits right on the equator in East Africa. Winston Churchill described it as the pearl of Africa. It is a very significant fact that Uganda has the world's youngest population, with 50% of its nearly 43 million citizens being under the age of 14. In 2014, a door opened for the Mission Board to take over the witness at the Emmanuel Mission Station. And the Lord's work there at Emmanuel includes the ministry of both the church and the Christian school. Our primary objective is to see a strong church established in the area, and the Emmanuel Church is a busy outreach centre. The main activities of the church are two Lord's Day services, an afternoon Sunday school, and a Sunday afternoon outreach in the local community. There is also a midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It is our desire through all these activities that the souls of many Ugandans will be won to Christ and then develop spiritually in their walk with God. We have also a vision to see other churches and Sunday schools planted in the local area and throughout Uganda. In addition, we have a burden to train young Ugandans who have shown a desire to serve the Lord and to send them forth to preach the gospel. In 2019, a group of young people from our churches in Ballymoney and Macrofelt went out to Emmanuel to conduct a vacation Bible school. They had put a lot of effort into planning and preparation and also prayer for those meetings. And that prayer was answered in a tremendous way. The Lord came down. There was a real move of God in the school at that particular time. Every day children were being spoken to at the meetings as the Lord's servants presented the gospel. In total, 100 children were counseled for salvation. So this was a really special time of blessing at the Emmanuel School. The Emmanuel School was started in 2004 with just 16 children, but the Lord has blessed the work in a remarkable way, and now there is almost 400 children enrolled at the school. There are over 100 children in the nursery department, nearly 230 children in the primary school, and almost 60 young people in the secondary school. The mission station was officially reopened under the auspices of the Free Presbyterian Mission Society Africa at a special meeting on the 30th of April 2017. Shortly afterwards, the Mission Board was successful in obtaining NGO status in Uganda, which allows us to operate our own activities in the country. In answer to prayer, the Lord faithfully provided the missionary personnel needed for this work. Stephen and Ruth Miller went for 3 years and helped to establish the work on the ground. They have now returned to Northern Ireland. And we ask you to pray that the Lord will send another labourer to fill the vacant pulpit at Emmanuel. After 17 years of dedicated service in Kenya, Miss Noreen McAfee felt called to move to Emmanuel to take up the role of principal. Miss McAfee has a very heavy responsibility at Emmanuel, as she oversees the three departments of the school and also the work of our 32 members of staff.
It was very hard to leave Kenya, but I knew in my heart that the Lord was leading me to Uganda. I had already visited Emmanuel a couple of times, so I had some idea of the work that lay ahead. In some respects, school is school wherever you go, but of course, each situation is unique. You have new missionaries, new staff, new parents, and new pupils to meet. And the Lord has graciously added to each of these groups in the past few years. At Emmanuel, we largely follow the National Curriculum for Uganda, which offers maths, English, science, RE and social studies at primary level. The secondary and social studies are then divided into individual subjects when the students move into the secondary department. A typical day starts with morning assembly at 7:30, and classes begin at 8 and run through until 4:30 when we have our afternoon assembly. It's a long day, but it's broken up with a cup of maize porridge at morning break, and some maize, beans and cabbage for lunch, with meat and fruit on certain days. The school feeding program is a real lifeline for the children, since food is scarce in many homes. On Saturdays, we have morning lessons, and then some chores and sports sessions to enjoy. While most of our students are day scholars, we do have over 90 in the boarding department. They are mostly older children in the examination classes, but we also have some who come from a distance or from very difficult home situations. They stay with us throughout the term, and then we organise for them to go to a home for the holidays, even if that means giving support to the household. Most of our families can only afford a small contribution towards the cost of the child's education, and some can pay nothing at all. Many need assistance with items such as stationery, uniform, and boarding supplies too, as we try to teach them some basic hygiene. Sickness is never far away, and often we have to step in to see that our children and others in the community get the medical care and attention they need. That is the reality of working in a poor and needy area. We are grateful to all who give us both prayerful and practical support. We really couldn't do it without you, and we trust that the Lord will reward you abundantly. We are also grateful to the Lord for His grace and mercy in every aspect of school life. We've already presented 3 classes for the primary leaving and O-level examinations, and we thank God for helping our candidates to pass well, some of them with distinction. The students have also done well in games, with some teams participating up to national level. We've been able to appoint head teachers for both the primary and secondary departments, and a social worker for our orphaned and vulnerable children's programme. We've also appointed a school management committee with representatives of the mission board, school staff, parents and local community. The primary school licensing process has been completed and we are awaiting final approval of our application for full registration. There is still much work to be done, but whatever has been accomplished is undoubtedly the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous.
In order to meet the requirements of the education authorities in Uganda, a lot of work was required on the buildings to bring them up to standard. It was a great encouragement to the mission board when Mr. Andrew Foster heard the call to come over into Uganda and help us, and to devote his many building skills to further the work of the gospel there.
One of the biggest things that we had to do for the local government at the school was to update the toilet facilities, and it was quite a big undertaking, and so we ended up digging away down into the ground over 5 metres and creating about a 90,000 litre tank for the sewage. And there was a team who came out to help with that, and it was really important that they came. It really helped us and encouraged us, and it was great for camaraderie sense as well. that was probably one of the highlights of the 3 years, just to work with the team from home, those who love the Lord and really want to see the Lord's work progress for His great name's sake. When I arrived, one of the first things that we did was renovate the old kitchen. Salonga, the cook, worked in terrible conditions. It was cooking over really a couple of open fires inside a decent-sized room. The kitchen now has a new roof, four stoves, tiled floor, somewhere for the chef to cut things and get the food ready. I'm pleased that we were able to do that, and the thing looks completely different now. And he really enjoys working in there, which is great. The water harvesting project was a big one, one that we really enjoyed. Previously, there was some guttering there, and they were trying to collect some water, but really, it wasn't maximising the potential that we had. And so we want to thank the churches, those that helped sponsor new tanks, and for those that even come out and helped me put the new guttering up. It's just a massive difference, and I hope the children will use it wisely, and yeah, it'll help support the water well that we have as well on site. Originally, all the rubbish and waste on site was just been thrown into a hole in the ground, and so we decided that we would get something built that would burn all the rubbish off site that we needed to get rid of, basically. And it was a project that I enjoyed, and some of the children even helped me with it, which was really nice. As the school continues to grow, we do need more space. And one of the things that the mission board came up with was to buy a container. And so we have renovated one there recently. The container arrived bare shell. And from there, really, it was a matter of cutting windows and doors into it, putting the floor in, getting it all painted up. And then we made some shelving for it, something that would mean that we didn't have to put walls into it to divide it up. But would give us flexibility even for the future if we needed it for a different purpose. It is now four offices. It will look after Hannah and Noreen and the two head teachers that we have on site. And as the school grows, we need to develop and expand and solve some of the logistic problems that we do have there at school.
The amount of work that Andrew has completed over the last 3 years has been absolutely amazing. In addition to all of this work, a bore well was drilled at the school to provide clean drinking water for the staff and children. This meant that the children no longer had the long walk every day to the swamp to fill jerry cans, and they are now drinking clean water. These two factors have made a massive difference to their lives. A play park was also erected to give the children some recreational facilities at break times. As a result of the generosity of the Lord's people, from time to time, we're able to provide some special gifts for the children. These gifts include clothes, shoes and boots, sports equipment, and sports kits. As road conditions can often be difficult and treacherous, good and reliable vehicles are essential. Our first vehicle in Uganda was the second-hand Toyota Landi. It has served us well for a number of years, and Andrew has kept it in very good condition. But in 2019, it became evident to the board that an additional new vehicle was required. And through the generous giving of many believers, a new Toyota Hilux was purchased. To all who contributed so liberally to this appeal, we want to express our sincere thanks. There are two main villages in the area around the mission station. These are Nisalu and Chimbala, with a total of approximately 600 families. Most of these people are very poor, and we want to help them practically as much as possible. As a result of a missionary council project in 2019, a community bore well was provided for each of these villages. The wells were dedicated at special services that were used as a means of outreach to the local community.
Yes,
Another way that we have been able to give considerable help to these two communities is through support from the Mission Board's Emergency Aid Fund. On three separate occasions in 2020, through the coronavirus pandemic, food and other essential provisions has been given to help the families in these villages. A big challenge that we were presented with was to produce gospel literature in the Luganda language. Luganda is the main language spoken in the area around Emmanuel by approximately 8.5 million people. During the COVID lockdown, three of our secondary school teachers devoted a lot of time to translation work for us. They translated all five of the Mission Board's children's tracts, Dr. Alan Kearns's greatly used booklet, A New Beginning, and a new adult tract entitled Stop Trying to Save Yourself. This literature was printed for us by Pepper Collective and shipped by Every Home Crusade to Uganda. Every Home Crusade is also providing us with 5,000 copies of the Gospel of John in Uganda. This literature will be of great help to our missionaries in their outreach program in the local area. As you can see, a tremendous amount has been accomplished with your help and support in a very short space of time. And we want to take this opportunity to say a big thank you to everyone who has helped us to advance the cause of the gospel at Emmanuel. To those who have gone to supply the pulpit, and also those who have been part of the various work teams to install the solar power, to renovate the missionary accommodation, to build the toilet block, to help install the water harvesting, and who have been involved in installing the mains electric. Also to several of our churches that have financed various vital projects. We thank you all sincerely for labouring with us. Now, as we look to the future, we have a great vision. A vision to see every area of the work expanded and developed. Let me stress that we need your help as we seek to continue this great ministry in the future. First and foremost, we need your prayers. Let me ask you to pray for our missionaries and staff and for all that goes on at both the Emmanuel Church and school. Also pray for me as the chairman of the Ugandan Oversight Subcommittee and all the members of that committee who give so much of their time to labour, along with the board, to advance the Lord's work in Uganda. The work at Emmanuel is great. There is the supporting of our missionaries, overseeing all the activities of the church, the welfare of our 32 staff and almost 400 children, the management of the Ugandan NGO, and providing practical help for the local community. For all of these responsibilities and more, we need your earnest prayers for the Lord's direction and provision. Prayer cards are available. Please take one to remind you to pray for the work at Emmanuel. It takes approximately £1,000 a week to keep the Emmanuel School running. Therefore, we also earnestly appeal for your financial support. Gifts can be given through offerings at deputation meetings. Also, gifts can be sent directly to our Mission Board office. Flyers have been printed with all the details of where to send your donation. In addition, gifts can now be given by using the Donate button on the Mission Board website. One vital way that you can help to support the work of the school is through our child sponsorship program. It costs £120 per year to sponsor one child. Many individuals, churches, Sunday schools, children's meetings, youth fellowships, ladies' meetings, and even businesses are sponsoring children at Emmanuel. This sponsorship makes a massive difference to the lives of the children. An annual sponsorship newsletter is sent to all our sponsors to bring them updates of how their support has benefited the children. Because of your support, much has been done for the Lord in Uganda. The witness of a church is being maintained. A whole community is being evangelized and educated. Gospel literature has been printed. Facilities have been improved. The community has been supported. But much more remains to be done. Therefore, in closing, as you consider the work at Emmanuel, let me exhort you all, in the words of the Saviour, to lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Isn't that powerful? I think you could agree with me. You could watch that all night, and it's lovely just to see how the Lord has permitted us as a denomination to labour for the Lord there, and how the Lord has made many crooked paths straight and many mountains a plain, that the work can go on there. Just a few things to mention to update you on. The first thing is, of course, Miss Noreen McAfee. She's at home for a wee while, and she is now going back to Uganda. I've seen a suitcase wheeling past on my way out, and that confirms the information which I had received that she is going, I believe, tomorrow. So certainly we wish your sister the greatest blessings in travelling. It's not a short journey by any means. We trust the Lord will keep her safe. But it does give me the opportunity tonight to genuinely commend our sister Noreen for her diligence and for her faithfulness and for the exemplary manner she has conducted herself there on the mission field. And she deserves to be commended. So, sister, thank you for your labours. And we do pray, Lord, continue to equip you and use you over there in Uganda. Also, the Fosters, Andrew, Hannah, and their wee girl, Rachel, you will be aware, have been sick recently. I can report tonight that they are recovering well, and we're thankful for that also. Hannah, Mrs. Foster, has received pre-settled status, and that's something a process we need to go through with her. It's with Brexit. She is a citizen of the EU, and she's married to a man from the UK, and that just makes it complicated coming in and out of the UK here. So we're thankful that 5-year process has now begun, and we're able to pursue that with her. That's an answer to prayer also. You saw some pictures of the electrical work that is ongoing, and you will be aware of the electric board which has been manufactured here and sent out. Our brother Jonathan McCauley has been very much influential in that. I just can't see. There he is there, brother. Am I right in saying it was sent about the 7th of June? It's due to arrive beginning of August time. And once it arrives, we'll be able then to continue the work of getting them hooked up to electricity. And that will be a great benefit indeed. But again, a thank you to our brother Jonathan, who has laboured very diligently and has been very helpful in doing all that work. Also, Jonathan does much of our deputation work in the area, and we're thankful to him for his work there in that capacity. Also, he's one of the members of the Ugandan subcommittee. Also, on the 18th of June there, I think it was the 18th of June, President Museveni extended lockdown in Uganda. I believe it was a 42-day extension. And that's problematic, of course. I understand, at least there have been reports online, that the numbers of positive cases of coronavirus has increased 17-fold recently. So there would have been 100 reports a day of positive tests. There's something in the region now of 1,700 per day. So numbers have been increasing, therefore lockdown has come again. So the church and the school is presently closed. And that, of course, is difficult. That being said, the kids are receiving study materials at home. They're not getting away with going home with no work. I know my son, when we were in lockdown, the prospect of no school was rather delightful in his eyes. But of course, then came all the online stuff and all the activities to do. Well, same with the kids over in Uganda. They are receiving work to do at home. So remember them. It is somewhat more difficult studying at home, but we pray the Lord will even give them the ability to do their studies well. Obviously, with the church being closed, that's a difficulty as well. When our churches here were closed, it was far from pleasant. So remember the folk, even spiritually, as they're not getting that same degree of fellowship and nourishment, the children included, because all the children have been sent home, so they're not getting that spiritual food as they would have in the school. That also means that many men that we had lined up to go over the summer will not be able to go. We are hoping, perhaps early August, that we might have the opportunity again to send men over. But that's also something to pray about in the long term, is the vacancy on the church premises. So we need a man called of God, a minister, to go and to labour there. Take that seriously to heart. A vacancy in a church, again, is not ideal. It's far from it. And we would love to see the Lord raising a man for the gospel ministry. You saw some photos of literature, which Reverend McMillan said had been sent, and it has now been sent. Every Living Home Crusade has been very good in helping us delivering outreach material to Uganda. I understand that is on its way and will soon be available for picking up. And then lastly, also in the video it mentioned that registration for the primary school had been submitted, and I understand it was just granted there the other day. So we have registration for the primary school. That's a big deal. When you work with all the technical stuff in the background, it has to be done, needs to be done. And again, we're thankful to the Lord that registration has been given. And then can I thank you, and our chairman emphasized, remember to thank the Ballymoney congregation for your prayerful support and for your practical support. Many of you have been there, many of you have given generously, and many of you pray for the work. And we know that, and we're thankful for you. And you've seen something of the fruit of your labours. I trust you're encouraged to keep supporting the work there. We're labourers together with the Lord, and it genuinely is a huge privilege for us all to be involved in the work in Uganda and the mission field as a whole. That's all I have to say tonight. I'll hand over now to Miss Noreen McAfee, and it's my delight to bow out and hand over to a real-life missionary tonight. Noreen.
Well, it's lovely to be here and to see everybody who has come. Interestingly, when I booked my flights to come home, I was supposed to be returning today on the 24th. And then after I'd been home a short time, I got an email to say that KLM had changed the flight to the 25th. And that meant that I was around and able to come tonight and to hear the Reverend Brown present the work at Emmanuel and to do so very, very well. I don't think there's too many lines that I need to join up. I think he has done an excellent job. And I want to thank him. I want to thank the other members of the Uganda Oversight Committee and our mission board and the officers of our board and also our missionary council for all the work that they do here at home. We could not possibly run the school in Emmanuel or be missionaries there in that land without their help and without their support. So I really do want to express the appreciation, not just my own, but also of all the staff there at Emmanuel and all the children and young people as well. They kept saying, take our greetings to the mission board and take our greetings. And they mention all the people who have been. So if you want to get a personal greeting, you have to have been, you see. You know, so the people they know, like Reverend Park and Reverend Brown and Reverend Harris and Reverend McMillan and Samuel and Elaine and so many others. So if you want that personal greeting, come and visit us at Emmanuel. Even today, one of the teachers was still reminding me to greet the people at Hebron. So they do think very much of the folks here in Northern Ireland. And they do appreciate very much the support that we get. We also thank all our churches around, all right, and the people here at Hebron and individuals who have prayed for us. I know there are people who pray every day. Many people have told me that, even when I've been at home. And there are those, of course, who have supported us continually. I know things have been very difficult, certainly during the early part of lockdown. Things were much more difficult for you than they were for us there in Uganda. And yet people did not forget the work on the mission field. And we really do appreciate that. We thank God. God has been faithful. I was thinking of that little part of that verse that says, yet he abideth faithful. And we have had a difficult year, 18 months, 2 years, all of us. And yet all of us have to say, yet he abideth faithful. The Lord has been faithful. The Lord has been gracious. The Lord has been good. And there has not failed one word of all his good promise. And I can say that when we were told that we were going into lockdown at the start, it was initially for 30 days. And it was a bit like Micah's reaction. It was happy days. People were going home for 30 days, and they thought they'd all be back again very soon, and things would carry on. And then as it went on and on and on and on, then we realized that it wasn't going to be something that would pass over quickly. But during all that time, the Lord was faithful. And God's people were faithful in praying and in giving and in keeping in touch. And I do really want to appreciate those who took the time to keep in touch, especially maybe during those months when I was there on my own. And especially our own youth fellowship here at Hebron really did a great, made a great effort to do that. And it was greatly appreciated. As you've heard, God willing, I'm going back tomorrow. I was COVID negative yesterday, so I hope by tomorrow I'll still be COVID negative at the airport. And I get on the flight for Amsterdam. I'm going out in the evening, tomorrow into Amsterdam, overnight in Amsterdam, and then Saturday morning heading on via Kigali in Rwanda into Entebbe. When you arrive in Entebbe, you have to get tested again just in case. So you get tested again, and then you wait to see if everything's okay before they let you go any further than that. But God willing, I hope to go back and just pray that everything goes smoothly and that I make it all the way back up the road to Emmanuel. Maybe you're thinking, well, why is she going back if the numbers are going up? Even though the numbers are going up and even though lockdown is there, there is still much to be done and there's still much that we can do. And I believe that it is the Lord's will that I go back. Even at this time, I'm thankful I have been fully vaccinated. I was able to get the first vaccination there in Uganda, and I've got my second dose while I've been at home. And we will be careful. We don't underestimate the situation, but we look to the Lord to protect us and to keep us. Restrictions are very tight at the minute. They have this Delta variant that everybody's talking about. And so I think the restrictions we have this time are a little bit tighter than what we had even before. They've banned public and private transport. You're not allowed to move from one district to another district. And as you've heard, the school and the church are closed. Pray for our people during that time. It is very, very difficult. Most of them don't have access to a smartphone. so they can't watch anything online. When our children are doing homeschooling, there's no online, there's no Seesaw, there's no Google School, there's none of those things. It's whatever you can print and physically deliver to the home and then gather up again and bring back for Martin. So it is a hard time for them. It's a hard time for God's people. They really don't have access, most of them, to messages and sermons and so on. So we just pray that the Lord would undertake and that the thing wouldn't drag on and on and on, but that soon the situation would be under control and that things would be able to open up once again. And pray that the Lord would give us patience and wisdom. You know, we're all itching to be at everything, we should be itching to be at everything. You know, we want to get on with the work, but pray that the Lord would give us the patience that we need and also wisdom. Even if there are other ways that we can do things, if there are other things that we can do to help the people. I was thinking of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, and he said, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And certainly during this whole COVID time, that has been our experience. The work has been very different at what we were doing before because of not having the children on site until for some months until they came back in October. So you were preparing work, you were sending it out and helping the local community quite a bit as well. Some days I think Emmanuel seems to be kind of like a crisis centre. You go in the morning and you just never know what you're going to hear. What baby is sick or who has passed away or who's starving or whose house has collapsed or whatever. Every day is really different and quite unpredictable. And it is a joy, it is a privilege to be able to help people in their times of need. And it's also, of course, a great joy to share the word of God with them. And when they see the practical love of Christ, I believe it does help to open them up to the message that we have to give as well as we share the gospel with them. So pray that the Lord would undertake. We have really missed having visitors, and I would have to say the children have really missed having visitors. Life in Uganda is, can I say, fairly mundane. All right, there's not a lot of excitement. All right, every day is the same as the next. And for most Ugandan people, every day is a struggle, a real struggle. It's a struggle to get water. It's a struggle to get food. People are getting sick all the time and needing treatment. Life is quite hard and it's quite a struggle. So visitors are a highlight. All right, visitors here are a highlight, but in Uganda, visitors are wow, you know. It's just the best thing ever. So we have really, really missed having visitors, and we're looking forward to that time whenever things open up again. People will be able to come back and see us and interact with the children and encourage the staff and the missionaries as well. Even for us, it is a great encouragement to have people come out and share with us. So pray for the children, pray for the staff. Pray for all the families that are associated with the school there. Pray for the missionaries, it's been mentioned already. Pray for the community that is round about us in that place. And pray that the unsaved would hear the word of God and that people would be brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. All that we do, all those efforts, all those different types of work that we are engaged in, it's all with that purpose and all with that end in view, that people might hear about Christ and that they might come to trust in him. Pray that people would not be fearful and over-anxious at this time. You know, it's one thing to hear and to know about COVID when you know the Lord. That's one thing. When you have the Lord as your stay and as your rock and as your strength. But imagine those people who don't know the Lord. And they're just frightened out of their minds, some of them. So we just pray that God would be merciful and that God would be gracious and that at such a time that we would be able to minister to them. I was thinking this week about another verse in Corinthians, over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And just the end part of it, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I know with COVID, a lot of things have been delayed and a lot of things have been postponed. All right. Some people have to postpone weddings. Some people have to postpone other things. All right. A lot of things have been delayed and a lot of things have been postponed. But I was thinking about the work of God. And it's not something we should postpone. It's not something we should delay. Now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. I know we usually use that verse maybe when we're talking to unbelievers. But even for us as believers, now is the accepted time. And I was thinking, you know, maybe even there are people, and the Lord has been speaking to them about serving him or going to the mission field, and maybe they're thinking, well, you know, now wouldn't be a good time. Because after all, look at COVID, and look at the restrictions, and the world's in a turmoil, and everything's in upheaval, and everything's so uncertain. I believe now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Let us not put off doing God's work. Let us not put off what the Lord has for us. All right, let's not keep saying after. Maybe when COVID started, some people were like that. They said, after lockdown, we'll do that. And then they discovered, it was going to be a very long time. So they just had to get on with it. And even in the work of God, we have to get on with it. We have to do what we can, and we have to use all means that are available. And if some of the things we normally do aren't available, then we ask the Lord to show us other things that we can do so that we can continue to present the gospel to those who need to hear it. Maybe for your encouragement, you maybe did hear through other means. We did have a lady who came to know the Lord through the outreach. That was just at the end of the year. And then just before I came home, we had a young boy at the school. Some of the classes were back, and we had a boy in primary who came and sought the Lord for salvation as well. So there still are those little tokens for good, but there are many more who need to come. And so keep praying. That's all I can say. Thank you for praying, and keep praying. And we know that the Lord is faithful. And thank you again. May God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you, Noreen. That video brought back a lot of memories. Noreen, as a missionary, is a great ambassador for the Lord and for the work of God. And Reverend Brown, a good representative also, as he does these meetings. We really appreciate the work that you do. Reverend Brown and I have traveled to Uganda together. We have served the Lord together in the school. We have served the Lord in pastors' conferences. We even shared a room together, so it wasn't that bad after all. Our memories of him being our student assistant. He's a very gifted man, and brother, we do appreciate what you do for the Lord. You heard tonight, it's a deputation, so there's an offering. Please remember that as you leave. You heard tonight that it takes £1,000 a week. That sounds like a lot of money, but 400 children, that's not even 50p a day per child. So we certainly want to give as the Lord enables us. And we're able to put, to start it off, £80 into it. I was at a funeral yesterday, and there was a wee group of senior people I was talking to afterwards. One lady said, "Listen, we listen in every Thursday night, and we really appreciate the updates and missionary work that we hear from your church." There's a man standing by. I don't know him personally, but he said, "Here's £80. Put that to missionary work." Well, this is the first missionary work that we're faced with, and that can start the offering for it. And another wee woman, I didn't know her either, and she said, I want to send a gift for missionary work too. So those are little encouragements along the way. Now, we're going to pray for the school work. Just some of the things that I was thinking about today that we ought to remember. And we think of the school, the teachers, the pupils, the mission station there, the church, of course, the COVID situation. We've heard about some who have passed away, known to the area there, just in the past few days. The lifting of the lockdown, which should happen at the end of July. Noreen, as she travels back tomorrow, Andy and Hannah Foster and we, Rachel, we're looking for a man sent by God for the pulpit, the electrical switchboard, that it will arrive safely and pass through customs, and then the outreach that is done in Nisalu and district in and around the church there. So what's going to happen? We're going to ask just a couple of you to lead us in prayer for the school. We will sing a closing hymn, and then whatever elders are here tonight and our brother Mr. Brown, we'll just ask Noreen to come up to the front. It's always good to send our missionaries back with prayer. It hasn't been a deputation time for her, but still important what she's going back to, all that she will face there, all the great needs. We want to send her back prayerfully, and we'll get a couple of our elders to lead us in prayer at that stage. So let's bow together, thinking of these things that we put up there on the screen especially. I'll just leave it open now for you to pray.
shine the gospel to those that are around you. Think of those who live right alongside of those many families that are within earshot of the school. Pray that there will be salvation brought in their hearts, that they will be found in Christ. We pray that this will be those missionaries that are there will the joy, the blessing, pointing them on to boys and girls to be the Savior. Thank you for what you've done in the past. And Lord, we realize that you're the God of community. Thank you for your God of salvation. We pray that you work in the hearts of boys and girls and families. Remember the South that are there as well. Thank you for your children and for the faithfulness looking after the boys and girls that are teaching. And we pray that you will even bless them. And if there's those among them that are unsaved, then you will draw them to yourself. Lord, for the boys and girls, now is there at home, if they don't have that influence each day of the gospel, and they perhaps they haven't the influence even from the community of the gospel, we pray that you will do with them. And those that are saved, that you will come alongside them.
I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor is passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life. I'm always challenged as I think of the words of this hymn. I've only one life to give, only one life to live. May we make it count for him, our blessed Savior.
Thank you.
for a couple of our brethren to lead us in prayer. Here's one microphone, here's another. So maybe one from this side and one from this side. Thank you.
Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again tonight, even for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard, even in reference to the land of Uganda. Yes. We thank You, Lord, for the work that has gone on faithfully there. We thank You for Sister Noreen. We thank You, Lord, for the day and hour that You saved her. Amen. We thank You for calling her into this work. And Lord, we thank You for the many gifts and talents that You've given to our dear sister. We thank You, Lord, even for her faithfulness in the land of Kenya and now in the land of Uganda. Amen. We just pray, Lord, even as she goes from us again to the land of her calling, Lord, that You'll go with her. You'll prepare the way. Go before her. We pray, Lord, You'll keep Your protecting hand upon her. And even, Lord, as she journeys, You'll give her journey and mercies. We pray, Lord, that for the boys and girls over there, we thank You, Lord, even for the work that goes on. Amen. Even in her absence, we pray for Andy and Hannah and for wee Rachel. We just pray, Lord, that You'll continue to even mend their bodies, Lord, that You will bring them back to a full measure of health and strength. And we thank You, Lord, for the work that they do so faithfully. And we just pray, Lord, as that mission team gets together, we pray, Lord, for just the blessing of God upon that work. And we just pray that many boys and girls will come to know Thee as their own and personal Savior. We think of them especially at this time. And Lord, how that even at this time they're separate from the school and the school has closed. We just pray, Lord, that has already been prayed, Lord, that You will keep Your good hand upon them. And even, Lord, that the word that they've heard, Thy precious word that has been taught faithfully to them, we thank You, Lord, that that word will not return unto them void. And we just pray, Lord, it will go on working in hearts.
Amen.
We pray for the community there as well, for the outlying villages. We pray, Lord, even there, that mums and dads and grannies and grandas will come to know Thee as their own and personal Savior. And so, Lord, we leave these thoughts before Thee, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that You will bless our sister and keep Your good hand upon her.
Amen.
We ask this in Thy precious name. Amen.
Amen.
God, our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this deputation meet tonight. We just thank You for the update and the work there in Uganda. We just thank You for the time even You brought into existence. Thank You for Brother Kelly and his wife who had the vision even those years ago to see the work commence and the school commence and the church there. And we thank You, Lord, for, and I will, Lord, whenever this denomination was able to take it over. And we thank You for the progress of the work since then. We can see that the Lord's doing it. It's marvelous in our eyes. And we pray, Lord, for the continuation of the work. We pray for, we thank You for all that has already been done. We thank You for the much work that Brother Andrew Foster has put in and all that those renovations, Lord. And we just thank You for him and for Hannah. And I just pray, Lord, that You'll continue to be with them in the days that lie ahead. And we pray, Lord, even that there will be a pastor very shortly be able to go to that church and take up the work there and go around the district, Lord, and bring Thy word, Lord, to that community, we pray. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for Noreen as she goes back tomorrow. We pray, Lord, for journeying mercies as she travels back to the land. And Lord, You know all the heavy burden even that she has at this time, even doing those lessons all in a manual way. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that You bless her and the team that's there. We pray, Lord, that there'll be an encouragement and a help to her. And as the young boys and girls even get Thy word and as they learn, we pray, Lord, that You'll bless them. And very shortly, Lord, they'll be back again physically in the school. Bless, we pray, even keep the company safe even these days. And keep the missionaries safe. We pray, Lord, that none of them will contact COVID. We pray, Lord, that your hand there will be upon that matter. And just pray, bless all who are involved in work. And thank You for Mr. Park and for Reverend Harris and for our brother Brown here. Just pray, Lord, that You'll bless them. And we thank You for all the work they put on. So pray, Lord, that just bless and undertake. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Everybody say
Amen.
Reverend Brown and Norrie go to the door and stand at a distance and just wait there. All right. God bless you.